Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a tradition that the Jewish Passover meal ended by reading the Song of Songs. It's an epithalamium, a wedding song. And the fathers all agree that we can read Christ's Passover as essentially a nuptial event. It's the foundation of a new covenant. It's the sealing of a marriage between Jesus and his bride, the church. This is very much a replication of Yahweh's marriage to Israel in the Old Testament. In the New Covenant, Jesus marries the church. The Passover is, if you like, the marriage feast of the bridegroom. And the Synoptic Gospels all have Jesus refer to himself as the bridegroom. Indeed, in Matthew, Jesus can even refer to the consummation of all things. And note that word, the consummation, as a wedding feast. In today's Gospel, there is a faint echo of Jesus at a wedding previously in Cana, protesting to his mother that his hour had not yet come. And now tonight in the Gospel reading, we hear that he knows that his hour has come. Can we say that his wedding has come? Finally. Here is the big day. The passage goes on to say that Jesus loves his own. He loves the disciples right to the end. To the end of his life? Maybe. But probably more to the end that is already ordained for them. To the end of union with him. To the incorporation into God's own life itself. This is the end to which he loves them. The end to which he washes them. So that with the speaker of the Song of Songs, he may say, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And so we can legitimately read Solomon's song as the love lyrics, the romantic lines that help us understand and develop an intimacy with God. This is the passionate end to which Jesus loved his disciples. This is the language of love that beats in our hearts, but also the love that makes us stoop to wash each other's feet. The awesome God who reaches down, who humbles himself to the point of taking an unworthy wife. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not claiming to be any sort of a mystic. I've never even come close to the ecstasies that a Bernard of Clairvaux talks about. But I've heard a snatch of the music. I've seen people dance to this beat. And as Bernard himself says, we all should burn with the desire to experience this music, to find this song in our hearts, to sing it. Or if you're not inclined towards mysticism yourself, on a slightly less esoteric point, St. Anselm says in his Proslogion that we should all, to contemplate God, enter into the inner chamber of our souls and shut out everything else except God. Yes, it's Jesus' command in Matthew 6 to go into our small room and pray to our Father in secret, but it's also, I think, a call to that mystical embrace of the Song of Songs. Upon my bed by night, I sought him whom my soul loved. I held him and would not let him go. His kisses are like the best wine. So the song gives us, however elevated we find them, the love lines of a relationship between the lover and the beloved, between Christ and his church, between Christ and us, between Christ and our souls. It's a language that we have to learn. It's an intimacy that we have to reach. Of course, most people are embarrassed by the sensuality of the poem, and they hear only a song of snogs, something that needs to be tidied up, something that we couldn't possibly mention in church, at least not in front of the children. But Christ bending down to wash feet reminds us just how vital intimacy really is. These are also the love lines, the lyrics of the church. Salvation in the everyday humdrum level between ordinary people who are made in God's image, who are called to move to his music, who are loved by him. Everything that the church does, all the missionary activity that we take on, all the looking after the homeless, looking after the less well-off, caring for each other, putting on services, all of this is really a conversation between lovers. And Eugene Peterson has done some interesting work in bringing that out. Now, I'm not hugely into feet, but my father died when I was just a teenager. And I remember him lying bedridden in his last days, unable to move, no circulation. And he would ask us to warm his feet. Now, blue icy feet were not something that my 14-year-old self really wanted to touch, even look at. But perhaps it was the only intimate thing that I ever did for him. Perhaps you might say the only loving thing that I ever did for him. And that's where things get real. Because it's in real lives that salvation has to be worked out. It's in the brokenness of our everyday lives, the boredom of our everyday lives, that salvation is being extended to us. That's where we learn to wipe the dust off each other's feet, following Christ's example. That's where we learn to love and to experience the covenant. In short, where we learn, and excuse me if this sounds wrong, where we learn to make love, to create fulfilling relationships with each other. It's the intimacy of washing each other's feet that stirs the love lyrics in our souls. So many of the people that I meet in church are looking for intimacy. Often they're looking for it in the wrong places. I know because I'm guilty of looking for it in the wrong places too. But we're all exploring our own experience, our subjective experience of salvation, trying to realize what God's new covenant means in our everyday lives. We're all demanding to be kissed, however quietly we're asking for it. We're all looking for love, love that is better than wine, and we can't find it. We can find it by making time to pray. We can find it by seeking God in our little rooms. But also, we need our feet washed. We need our names to be called lovingly by someone else. We need our affections redirected. And so to hear the lyrics of the Song of Songs aright, or at least to avoid hearing the Song of Snogs, we need to follow Christ's example. For when the body is bent at the feet of a brother, says St. Augustine, the feeling of humility is made to rise in the heart. This, for Augustine, is how we change each other from the pollution of sin. We confess our faults to one another. We forgive one another's faults. We pray for one another's faults. This is how we wash each other's feet. This is how we find our intimacy with God. We find it in the people around us. This is how our salvation expresses itself in love. This is how we dress ourselves for that great marriage feast at the end of time. We dress up with bowels of mercy and kindness. And when we've wiped and washed the feet of Christ's church, of those who preach glad tidings, then the lover of our souls will exclaim, like Solomon in his song, "How beautiful are your feet! How beautiful are the feet that bring good news! Know ye what I have done? Ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, and happy are ye if ye do them. Happy indeed to him the bridegroom as he solemnizes his marriage on the cross. Happy indeed to sing the love song of the beloved in our hearts. Happy indeed to live the romance of Christ's new covenant in our everyday lives. For his church, the bridegroom died on the cross, and we all owe our life to the blood and water that flowed from his side. Tomorrow, if you're here, we'll strain our eyes at the beloved to catch a glimpse of the invisible God." Amen.